Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Entrepreneurship Through Acquisition podcast, sponsored by the Polsky Center for Entrepreneurship at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. I'm Brian O'Connor, adjunct professor of entrepreneurship at Chicago Booth. And joining me today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Eric Laseca and Giovanni Barbat, respectively, the CEO and president of American Vision Group, a company they both recently acquired through their search fund. Eric and Giovanni, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Great, great. Well, guys, maybe a good place to start, if you wouldn't mind, just share a little bit about the business, about American Vision Group and what you all do. And then we can kind of get into a few of the specifics about your partnership and about the acquisition.
Sure. So American Vision Group is a multi-specialty eye care practice group. We are comprised of four different practices and three different specialties: optometry, general ophthalmology, and retina. We are located at this point in South Florida from Jupiter all the way down to Homestead. So that's Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. And we have 15 doctors on staff, 168 employees.
Tell us a little bit about maybe how you found American Vision Group and what attracted you to the business.
Yeah, so there were a few things that we really liked about the eye care industry. And first, it's fragmented. There's decent EBITDA margins, and it's healthcare. And we like healthcare because we're not sure where we're at in the cycle. But if you have eye problems and need surgery, you're not going to defer that. In fact, our thoughts is that eyesight is one of the five senses that most people appreciate the most and take care of the quickest once any issues arise. And then plus, South Florida has the right demographics, really, of old people that are eligible for Medicare and have disposable income. So when we and Eric were in the search, I was introduced by a friend of mine to one of the general ophthalmologists that we ended up partnering with. And fast forward 18 months, you know, we ended up closing on our deal in South Florida.
Excellent. So it sounds like you were drawn to the vision space, given some of the reasons that you sort of cited there, Gio. How many opportunities estimate would you guys say you sort of reached out to or were engaged in conversation with before you ultimately landed on this seemingly great business?
You know, there really wasn't that many. The funny thing is, for Eric and I, when we first started this path, it was about 2 years ago today, actually. And that was right around the time we were introduced to the general ophthalmologist that we ended up partnering with about 7 months ago. So we had this always working, and then we started obviously making sure that our pipeline was strong. And so we probably spoke to a handful of other sellers, but this really got the focus of ours, and we pretty much bet the house that we were going to close this deal.
Great. Well, it sounds like it all kind of came together, and congratulations for pulling it off. I know it's no small feat. Maybe we take a step back. Prior to the acquisition and partnership with American Vision Group, and talk a little bit about your partnered search experience. How did the partnership initially come together? How did you both meet and develop a relationship and determine that you wanted a partner and that it would be a good fit? And maybe from both of you, what might have you been looking for in a partner?
So I'll start with this, Eric, and you can fill in. So we initially wanted to do this individually, but thought together that we could buy a bigger company and have a better outcome. That was our thesis. So, and in my opinion, with a bigger company, it's easier to go from 5 million of EBITDA to 10 million of EBITDA than it is to get from 1 million of EBITDA to 5 million of EBITDA. And Eric and I, we complement each other, which I think is the most important characteristic of a partnership, other than the ability to get along well. So the things I look for were prior operating experience at large companies, because that discipline and structure coming from a large company, which I had from GE, provided a good ability to create structure in the smaller companies that we would eventually have acquired.
Excellent. Eric, any other attributes that you might have been looking for to complement your background and skill set?
Definitely financial acumen. I have a a pretty strong operating background, and it's, you know, it's playing out here. But the financial background that Giovanni has, his ability to get, you know, just really negotiate great terms with lenders and you know, get into the weeds in the financials with the board and with other investors. I mean, you know, you need both aspects, and especially if you're doing a roll-up, there's a lot more, you know, you need to have a lot more rigor. It's a lot more demanding. Investors need to see that you're a full, you know, well-rounded team. So having, you know, not just two people, but having two people with complementary skill sets and experience in pretty specific areas that we're delving into, it just, it gives investors comfort to, you know, to put more money in a already big deal. And it gives us comfort to do what we're doing. And it gives the sellers comfort because they know that we're, you know, getting it done based on, you know, the team that we have and our outcomes.
So Eric, you mentioned roll up. Let's talk a little bit more about that. How is that a part of American Vision Group's strategy going forward as you and Gio execute on the go forward plan?
So I'll let Gio get into the nuts and bolts of that. But overall, you know, we want to just have a bigger presence throughout South Florida as our primary market. We plan to have, you know, a surgery center. We plan to acquire on the west coast of Florida. So there's different things that we're doing. But it's really, you know, before we get outside of our home market, we need to, you know, have a strong presence, have a replicable model, you know, that we can then go into other markets. And Gio, I'll let you kind of add the detail behind that.
Yeah, sure. So the way we think about roll-ups in this thesis is that the healthcare industry overall is going through a massive consolidation. You have to be a larger player to compete because the insurance payers are consolidating, larger groups are getting larger, and so your ability to negotiate against payers and other suppliers gets more difficult as you stay small. So that's the overarching reality of healthcare. And so how that plays into American Vision Group is that eye care, similar to other specialties like dentistry and dermatology, is in the early innings of its consolidation. And so the opportunity here and our thesis with American Vision Group is to vertically integrate, like Eric had mentioned earlier, where we have optometrists, general ophthalmologists, and retina specialists. And so the way we look at acquisitions is how do we further solidify that vertical integration? And so we look at it strategically, you know, quarterly, and say, okay, where do we want to grow into? Is it more on the general side? Is it more on the retina side? Is it more on the optometry side? And then we start to look for acquisitions that fit that strategic plan. And then once we have a pretty core dense group in a market, we will replicate that into other markets. And so that's the thought process. And then as we continue to consolidate, the reality is we're more attractive to a larger consolidator in the space and will likely lead to our exit.
So Gio, I think you mentioned earlier on the podcast that you closed on the acquisition of American Vision Group about 7 months ago. What has the add-on M&A activity looked like since then? Have you all made another acquisition, or how are you thinking about the pipeline, given that this is part of your strategy?
No, that's a good question. So the reality is, by closing American Vision Group, we actually ended up closing on three separate companies all at the same time. So the way we think of M&A is we've actually already done three. And then post the initial close, on June 1st, we closed on a small add-on that we tucked in rather seamlessly so far, about 50 days in. And the pipeline is actually rather strong. So we're looking at, you know, other groups within this market as well as surgical centers, because that'll fulfill our vertical integrated model.
Excellent. Well, sounds like you all are off to a great start. Gio and Eric, I'd love, you know, we're kind of getting into this a little bit just in talking about some of the M&A activity. And it sounds like, Gio, that, you know, that's a core capability that you oversee within the organization. Maybe talk for a little bit about the delineation of roles. You know, Eric, as CEO, maybe some of the things that you look after within the organization. And then Gio, as president, we've already talked about some of the continued M&A activity. But how do you guys think about overseeing the core functions of the business and sort of dividing and conquering?
So the way that we have it split is Giovanni sees he oversees the financial aspects. So anything that's related to financials, accounting, M&A, that's under his domain. And then I oversee HR. I oversee the office managers, and I oversee referrals and marketing, which is the lifeblood of the business. So, and it's a very it's very clear throughout the organization who takes care of what. So we have we went on a kind of a road a tour when we first partnered with these three groups back in December, and we really hit home, hey, this is the new kind of structure. You know, this is what he handles. This is what I handle. This is what the doctors will handle moving forward. So it was very clear that the doctors, it's a new dynamic. So we made it clear not only between what Giovanni and I handle, but also what the doctors, which were the previous bosses that would continue to work with us and them on the front lines, would continue to handle. So we really stressed that because obviously it's important for the success of us being uniting these three groups. If it was just one group, wouldn't have been such an issue. But getting three groups in 12 different locations really required that kind of synchrony up front.
Gio, anything to add on that? Some of your role. Of course, the M&A activity that is a strategy, but anything else within your role that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, sure. I think I have the fun job of being the physician liaison a lot of times as well. So we have a chief medical officer. There's a big delineation as Eric and I step into a healthcare business, since you have to have an MSL structure where it's you essentially separate church and state again with between clinical and non-clinical. So we have a chief medical officer that I'll interact with constantly. And then on the M&A front, that's been pretty active. And then on the accounting function, it's been quite a function to have developed, because it didn't exist before we got in here. These were companies that had cash basis accounting with no controller or CFO in place. And so the fun we've had, year to date was a heavy lifting job of going from cash basis to accrual basis, putting together a budget 45 days in, and having an audit for the last 2 weeks because we closed on December 17th of last year. So the accounting function that didn't have a controller before really has grown. And so it's really helped Eric on the operational side, because now we can report better and track our returns better and have more analytics behind our decisions.
Gio, that's obviously a big role, especially when thinking about the consolidation of three disparate companies at time of acquisition. Do you have a CFO, or are you the acting CFO, oversee those duties as well?
So we have a controller that does a lot of the heavy lifting. We have an interim CFO that helps, that's done this before in other search fund deals. So he's got the familiarity of coming into an unsophisticated accounting function and really professionalizing it. And so him and I are in constant communication about which direction we want to take the accounting function.
Great. Can you both maybe comment, Eric, maybe from your standpoint on the human resource and strategic elements of it, and then Giovanni, maybe more on the technical finance accounting elements of, putting together these three organizations at time of acquisition. Any unique challenges that you've faced or had to struggle with, from either of your two perspectives in the roles that you serve? Maybe some commentary just around that, because that is a little bit atypical in the universe of entrepreneurship through acquisition.
Yeah, let me start. Yeah, HR is an interesting one because As Giovanni mentioned, this is an MSO model. We had to essentially terminate half of the staff, the administrative staff, and then hire them under AVG. We had to terminate all 401k. We had to terminate all insurance. We had to terminate all, you know, remnants of the prior entity, because now we are creating an MSO that is American Vision Group, and we are not bringing any of that liability with us. So there had to be a clean cut. And that took a lot, because we had to get the ball rolling before the close, but the close was a moving target for a few weeks. So, you know, we couldn't jump the gun and set a date until it was official. And it wasn't official until it was official. And then it was time to scramble. But luckily, we had all the teams in place. So net net, the HR slash benefits, you know, slash, you know, rehiring most of the staff was a pretty heavy lift. And it's pretty atypical. It's only, you know, part of the, you know, the healthcare, in particular, the MSO model. Now, fast forward. Now we have a chief of HR. That was part of the original structure. She's been the chief of HR since, you know, a couple of months in. And now she's in charge of conducting, you know, staff gap analysis, standardizing the staffing model, creating protocols. You know, there's a certain sophistication that we now have. All of the hires or promotions or increases of pay rates go through me. So I will respond to them quickly, but I need to know, you know, how many people are being hired, just like Giovanni has certain things that he, you know, absolutely must see before they get approved. So that, you know, it's three, you know, now four different cultures that we're merging into one. And we're relying on the chief of HR to kind of be the catalyst for that. And she's been amazing.
Hey, Eric, you know, it's one thing to, you know, consummate a transaction and then sort of join the team on a full-time leadership role. It's yet another to sort of at the same time kind of combine cultures and systems and processes. And you mentioned things like 401k changes. How did you manage through the inevitable scare and concern that might have been that might have come with some of those changes to the key people that have been so important to the growth and the prosperity of these disparate companies historically?
Yeah, that was just kind of part of the negotiation process, right? There's certain things, like, so nobody was going to be absolutely happy. And that's, I've come to, you know, I've become used to that. You know, no matter what, you know, G or I decide, there's going to be people that are not happy, and there's going to be people that are, and there's going to be people in the middle. So in terms of the benefits, that was, we went with, at that point, we had, you know, the three original groups. We went with, we just did a comparison of the three sets of benefits. And I'm getting into the weeds because it helps, because if I start with the outcome, you're going to think it was biased. So we went with the three different groups looking at their benefits. It was easier because one of the three groups didn't have benefits. So that, you know, it was just kind of a one-to-one comparison. And then pretty much head-to-head, one group had better benefits than the other on everything, except for a few things. But I would say, you know, a majority, over 80%, one group had better benefits. So, you know, one group was going to be happy, the other group was not. Actually, two groups were going to be happy, because now the group that didn't have benefits was going to have benefits. So it was a contained blast, if you will, because we only had to upset one of the three groups, and it did look like it was biased. So we were very methodical. So one of the things that helps us in making decisions, you know, it's not always consensus, but we outline kind of the process, our thought process, our consideration set, because these are surgeons. They're not going to just take, you know, because I said so. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to make decisions, and we're still in charge. And they are a stakeholder, but they're not the only ones. So that's kind of how it worked.
Gio, how about from your perspective, you know, kind of the technical integration of these businesses? It's probably something that you were very heavily involved in and continue to be heavily involved in. Any comments on that side of the house?
Yeah, I think it's been quite astonishing just to have set up, because if you think about just from a reporting perspective, you've got four different entities that all reported a little bit differently. And even within those entities, three of them are completely different business lines. So, you know, Eric and I and our board, we really took a decent amount of time to really think about, how do we want to think about this business? Do we want to look at it, you know, in silos? And how do we consolidate that? Because they all have different types of business models. And so the thought process around getting into the weeds of looking at each business as its own separate business line, and how do you report on each of those business, but also conforming each line item so that you can roll them up to consolidate, was quite an exercise, but very educational at the same time.
Now, you mentioned, you both have mentioned the acronym MSO. Can we just maybe take a step back for some of the listeners that maybe aren't as familiar with these types of transactions in the healthcare space? Can you guys maybe just sort of give the MSO 101? Yeah.
So at the highest levels, just to make it easier for those that are listening and that don't have healthcare experience, in most states in the country, financial folks cannot own healthcare practices for legal reasons why. And so the way that you work on this, or that you essentially have the same sort of structure, is an MSO structure, which essentially means there's a parent company, which is the Management Service Organization, MSO, and that is providing management services to the healthcare groups. And that is a way to charge fees, as you would as if you were any other manager, to the practice groups to essentially reap the rewards of managing the practices.
Great. Thank you for that. Eric, as we sort of get kind of toward the end of our time on this conversation, I would love to hear from maybe you, Eric, but also Gio, you know, what do you see as the biggest opportunities ahead of your business? And, you know, what gets you most excited? And I might have a follow-up question on sort of the things that maybe keep you up at night, sort of the other side of that coin. But what gets you most excited now that you're 7 months into this investment?
I think it's operational efficiency. I think it's, you know, because you grow by acquisition, and that's Geo's sandbox, but you also have to grow organically. You have to grow, you know, the assets that you have. And if we are going to maximize, regardless of how many, you know, platforms and how many markets we're in, we have to make the most of each and every market. So I'm excited about really learning more about the business, digging in. You know, we're learning more every day. I'm digging into the numbers. I'm really, you know, pushing the team. I'm getting, you know, in people's face. It's, you know, it gets uncomfortable sometimes, but we're a team, and we're kind of, you know, in the trenches, and I'm really digging it. I'm digging the ownership that non-owners have. You know, the most of the managerial staff here is non-owners, and they just are taking to the challenge, and it's really exciting to see them. And it's exciting, you know, to see how Gio and I are kind of flourishing in this management role and really coalescing with the management team and the frontline folks, the doctors mainly, which are the folks we interact with the most. And it's exciting to see how, you know, three, now four different groups are coming together, and just, you know, operational tightness is what really gets me kind of jazzed up. And, you know, we're getting there in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, that is exciting. Gio, how about from your perspective?
Yeah, no, I think there's a couple even more exciting things to build on what Eric was just saying, is that from operational efficiencies come a lot of cost savings. And so our focus for the first two quarters of the year was to really get in, build out the platform, understand the business better. And now we have the exciting role of figuring out where the fat is and where we can cut. So we've already identified a whole bunch of cost savings that we'll be able to rip out of the business that'll actually make this even more profitable than we had anticipated. So we're really excited on that front. And as we build out a platform and as we do these add-ons, the exciting part is really because the add-on portion of this business is really what's going to take this, you know, to a really double the size. It's much faster to do it inorganically than it is organically. And so as we do add-ons, leveraging our platform is going to be great because we don't have to hire a controller, and we could take out any accounting function that's at these single offices, and we don't need their admin because we already have a chief admin. So there's a lot of synergies as we do acquisitions. And as we build a tight house internally with our platform, it makes that part of the business really exciting. And Eric and I do a great job of dividing the house, but the beauty of our partnership is that we work hand in hand. We're a few offices down from each other, and we like to be heavily involved, at least at this stage of while we're learning the business, in each other's departments. So we each have our own individual group meetings with our own departments that we oversee, but we'll always constantly join each other in each other's meetings and in their departments so that we can stay up to speed on each other's departments so that we are encompassing and anybody can come to each of us for the most part for any topics that arise.
So great, guys. It sounds like there's a lot of exciting things going on at the business. Maybe let's take a look at the other side of the coin. What might keep you up at night? What scares you? Or maybe you both sleep very soundly through the night. I don't know. But my suspicion is that there are things that are on your mind about your business.
The reality of healthcare businesses is that the biggest risk in these deals is key man risk. And it's this unique business model where you're buying a company from physicians that are now and have been generating your revenue. And so the key man risk in here is losing providers. And so that kept us up at night. You'll always have some level of turnover at the provider base. So making sure that we have our cohesive group of providers and that making sure that you don't have any concentration on that side is really what you want to maintain and make sure you have thought through well and have plans in case any provider does leave. And we've obviously had some turnover. We had one doctor that left in early months of the first quarter and we easily replaced them. So it kept us, you know, when we first were like, okay, this doctor is going to be moving on for whatever reason, it was concerning at first, but to see that you can replace that doctor rather timely and not skip a beat because you find that the patient's need their doctor and they'll go whatever group they feel most comfortable with was very comforting for us, you know, as we entered into the thesis early on.
Great. Well, not surprising that, you know, the things that you think most about are people related. I can certainly relate to that. Maybe as we sort of wrap up here, I guess the last question I'd have for both of you is now going through this, the search and now operating American Vision Group. Do you have any advice for searchers, you know, folks that might be interested in pursuing the entrepreneurship through acquisition path, and maybe new operators that might be listening in?
I can kick it off. Listen, this for me, I can't speak for Giovanni, but I think he's going to echo this, is obviously life-changing. We have the skills, you know, coming from Booth or coming from, you know, some of the top business schools to be able to do this. It's super exciting to do it. You get to, you know, work with, you know, very bright and very aligned investors and very bright and very aligned operators on the front lines. So I think if you're up for the challenge, which, you know, you have to go in eyes wide open, this is not for everyone. This is a grind. You will have high highs and low lows. And, you know, that continues to be. So don't expect this to be like you clock out at 5 p.m. on Friday or you take vacations, you know, every quarter. That's not the case here. But you know, you get to set your path and it's super exciting and I wouldn't have changed this for the world.
Yeah, Eric, I totally agree with those sentiments. You really need to dive deep internally and think through everything you've researched about this industry and make sure you're ready for those high highs and low lows. Fortunately for us, Eric and I were a great partnership where we were able to balance each other during those high highs and low lows. And then, you know, for those in the search phase, I think you get something really special when you can combine good limited partners, good operators, and good staff. In our terms, staff being doctors and the rest of the staff. And when you can combine those three and you have all three of those synchronized, you can really have a great outcome.
That's great advice, both from Gio and Eric, who are now operators, searchers turned CEO and president. So congrats to you both. And I would like to personally thank you and thank you on behalf of our listeners and the Polsky Center for Entrepreneurship at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. We sincerely appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts and valuable insights with us. Thank you both.
Thank you, Brian. It was our pleasure.
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, listeners. Brian O'Connor here. Just a quick reminder to join us at the 6th annual Booth Kellogg Entrepreneurship Through Acquisition Conference held on Friday, November 15th at the Marriott Magnificent Mile in downtown Chicago. You'll have the opportunity to hear from and network with fellow ETA entrepreneurs, investors, MBA students, faculty, and industry experts. To learn more about the conference and purchase your tickets online, visit etaconference.com. Thanks, and we hope to see you there.